We want to study just on what the theistic evolutionists bases their heresy. On what do they base it? Now, obviously, if you've read the 31 verses of the first chapter of Genesis, if you've ever read them just carelessly, obviously, it says there, the evening and the morning, the first day, the evening and the morning, the second day, the evening and the morning, the third day. And you read that expression where there are 7 days, you read that. And the historical interpretation and acceptance until this gang of crows came into the roost pole, the historical interpretation was that, well, it says a day, and that's a day. God made the things in 6 days. And when it says rested, it doesn't mean he rested because he was tired. It means he ceased or he stopped. And he stopped on the seventh day. Now, obviously, the first big problem that the theistic evolutionist has to grapple with is these 7 days. Since he said he's discovered that there is a happy balance between believing creationists who are very literal and atheistic evolutionists who are very wicked and unbelieving, he says we found the balance between the two. Now, obviously, his first problem is, since he dabbles a little bit, well, a lot, in atheistic evolution and a little bit in believing creationism, obviously, his first big problem, if one should come to me and begin to start this business, the first thing that I would naturally ask him, I'd say, well, what about the 7 days? Now, obviously, the first hurdle that this crowd must get over, they've got to do something about the 7 days. Now, since the theory of evolution stretches out over about 3 billion years, it's a mighty difficult task to condense 3 billion years in 7 days, or stretch 7 days into 3 billion years. So therefore, they have to do something with the evening and the morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, right on through. This is the first big thing they have to reinterpret and give us some, quote, new light on, unquote, and false quote, and so forth. This is the first big thing they have to do something with. Now, let me give you, in a nutshell, their explanation of these 7 days that you have read about in Genesis chapter 1. Now, hang on just a moment. I'm skipping a lot of material here tonight. All right, here it is. This is what they say. The word day should be reinterpreted not to mean an approximate 24-hour day. However, the correct interpretation of day should be periods of time. Now, that's interesting. Now, Mr. Theistic Evolutionist, you read your Bible like this. The evening and the morning were the first period of time. Oh, well, that's pretty good. If it's right, we're wrong. If it's wrong, if they're wrong, God's word is still right. The evening and the morning, not the first day. Now, though the historical interpretation of the church up until this crowd came along, for the most part, has been just a day. But they've come along and said, no, you're wrong. You shouldn't interpret it as being a day like you think. Day really should be long periods of time. And it should be read, the evening and the morning were the first period of time, the second period of time, and God rested on the seventh period of time. Well, that sounds very interesting. And as I say, if that's right, then some of us have been telling lies to people for a lot of years and been deceiving them, if that's right. In Exodus 20 and verse 11, I'll read this passage for you. Those who want to turn there can hurry up and turn there because our time's going. In Exodus 20, Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 20. All right, you got it? Exodus 20 and verse 11. All right, here's what it says. Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested, or stopped, or ceased, on the seventh day. Now, if you were a theistic evolutionist, you would read that, for in six periods of time, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh period of time. Now, let me state the case one more time for you. If believing creationists are right in saying 7 days means about 7 days, as we know it, then the theistic evolutionist is wrong. If the theistic evolutionist is right in saying the days should be periods of time, then we're wrong. And the greatest men who've ever preached the Word of God in the church, Spurgeon and Moody and Torrey and Finney, they've all been wrong. So therefore, I think it behooves us to find out the answer to the first big problem that this crowd is faced with. Let me condense it for you if I can. The theistic evolutionist says that each day should be counted about 400 million years. Now, you may need snake and powder when we really get through here tonight. Now, the evening and the morning were the first 400 million years. And the evening and the morning were the second 400 million years. And if you'll take 400 million and multiply it by 7, you come up with about 3 billion years, and bango, it fits into the geological evolutionary scale of 3 billion years for all of us to arrive on the scene. Now, I know to you people, it sounds fantastic, and you laugh and you giggle, and it is a big joke, but I want to tell you something. Some of our young preacher boys and missionary girls, they're having their brains poisoned by this sheer nonsense, and it borders on blasphemy. And the trouble is, you know, they can't study everything, and some of these blokes, they make it sound, and some of them who teach you don't know what they're talking about themselves. They've been taught it by some of these infidels in Louisville and New Orleans and other places in America. And they don't know, and so they share it with others. Now, tonight I want to show you how they seek to make a day not be a day, but be about 400 million years. And the evening and the morning was the first 400 million, the second 400 million, 400 million, we have 3 billion, and so we all fit us into the evolutionary scale. God invented evolution. It was his idea. We all should be theistic evolutionists, and we're the outcome of it, so we all stand up and say hallelujah for evolution. This is the essence of it. Now, this is a bit technical. I've tried to convince it for you the best I could. This really should be put on a big chalkboard so you could copy it down and put it in the flyleaf of your Bible, preferably near to Genesis. Now, here's what they do. The theistic evolutionist makes a play on the Hebrew word in Genesis 1, translated by or into our English word day. Our English word day. Now, the Hebrew word, for example, there in Genesis 1 where it says, let me find my place here. Let's see it down in verse 5. Look at verse 5 with me quickly, Genesis 1, 5. We'll read you an example here. Genesis 1, 5, the latter portion of 1, 5, the last sentence. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day. Now, as you know, or you should know, as much as you've heard the pastor say it and others say it, as you know, most of the Old Testament wasn't written first in the English language because they never heard of the English language in those days. The Old Testament, for the most part, was written in Hebrew and a little in Aramaic. And before you and I can read it in English or Afrikaans or whatever you read, it had to be translated out of Hebrew. And the nearest word in English, meaning the same thing in the Hebrew, had to be put in the text for to convey the message. Now, the Hebrew word for day is yom, Y-O-M, yom. The evening and the morning were the first yom, Y-O-M. The evening and the morning were the second yom. The evening and the morning, the third yom, the fourth yom, the fifth yom. And we have seven yoms translated in our English Bible, day. But the theistic evolutionist says, no, it would be better translated, periods of time. Now, he says this because he's got uniformitarian or evolutionary mania. He's like a dog with a mange. And he struggles to please them and to please the evangelicals who are on his neck. Here's how they based it. Young. Just a bit of information out of the Young's Concordance for you. This word, I don't know if you want this or not. This Hebrew word, yom, is found over 2,000 times in the 39 books of the Old Testament. If you could read Hebrew and read through the Hebrew Old Testament and marked yom, day, you'd find it briefly over 2,000 times. You understand? Is that clear now? Good. Now, in translating these 2,000 and more yoms from that, the Hebrew pronunciation, into English, the translators from 1604 to 1611 tried to find the best English word to fit this word, considering the context in which it was found. You understand? Now, let me share with you just a few ways that yom has been translated through the 39 books of the Old Testament. Now, I'm not trying to get technical with you, but I don't know any other way to say it. Now, yom is mentioned 2,000 times, and here's a few ways it's translated. 65 times, yom is translated into the English word time or times, singular and plural. One time, yom is translated weather, you know, like it's cold weather, Proverbs 25:20, weather. And that's a period of time. Two times, yom is translated daily. One time, yom is translated remain. All this is in the back of the Strong's Concordance. 30 times, yom is translated today. Three times, yom is translated season. Now fasten your seatbelt. 1,167 times, yom is translated day. Now they tell us that the correct translation of yom, the seven yoms in Genesis 1, should not be day, because that makes you a literalist. And they almost have a heart attack. They can't stand a literalist. They'd rather see a lion coming than a literalist. So they say, now, everybody who's educated and who's scientific says evolution's true. And the believing Christians, they just can't be right. So we reconcile the two. Christ and the devil have sat down at the same table. That's the philosophy. And we decided that yom should not be day. It should be periods of time. The evening and the morning were the first 400 million years, and God rested 400 million years. That really staggers you. You'd need a pet pill after that one, wouldn't you? That's what they say. Now, is it true? Is it right? Can this theory be justified in this first chapter of Genesis by changing the seven yoms, days, into periods of time to allow Mr. Protozoa to blop off and blop off and blop off and blop off, and here we are today. Now I want to show you several lines of proof regarding day, yom, in Genesis chapter 1. I'll cut them short for you. Number one. Listen to this now. The natural reading of it. Now anybody can read it. These devils read unnaturally. The natural reading of it tells any fool it's a day. Any fool it's a day. Now think of a man in India named Bok Singh, who was saved. He was saved in a hotel room in Toronto, Canada. Intellectual Indian. And somebody gave him a Bible, he was saved. And he sat up all night and read the entire New Testament and read some bit in the Old Testament. And he said, I have never read the Bible before in my life. And he said, when I read the first chapter of Genesis, he said, I just naturally, I thought that the writer was trying to tell the reader this happened in 7 days. That's the natural reason. Now, of course, if you're so intellectual, you read it unnatural, then, brother, we can't help you. You're hopeless. But the natural reading. The natural reading. If you have never seen a Bible before and I handed you one and you read the first chapter of Genesis, the evening and morning were the first day, would you suddenly say, oh, 400 million years? Would you? You wouldn't do that. It takes the new evangelicals to do that. Really? Now, number two. Now, that's not much of a proof, but that's for people who feel natural things. Number two, listen to this. Each yom, each day, is fenced in by evening and morning. Now, here's one they don't like for you to talk about. Anywhere in the Old Testament where the word yom is hemmed in with evening and morning, it's a day, a natural day. Now, they don't like that one. But like it or not, each yom says the evening and the morning, the first day. The evening and the morning, the second day. Now, if yom wasn't fenced in, it would be rather difficult. But God builds good fences. Very good. Number three, the order in which things were created during these yom's days. Now listen to this one. The world of vegetation, you know the word botany, vegetation, you know? Carrots, beans, potatoes, vegetation. The world of vegetation was made on the third yom. You read that in verses 9 through 13 of Genesis 1. The world of vegetation, the trees, the grass. There's a lot that could be said, but we don't have time here. Anyway, the world of vegetation was made on the third yom. Now listen. The sun did not shine until the next day, the fourth yom. And they think we're so stupid to believe that trees and grass can live 400 million years in the darkness and 400 million yams in the sun. They think we're that stupid. Isn't that ridiculous? Now, if the third yam was 400 million years, then that means the grass, the trees, and incidentally, God created them all grown with fruit in them, with an apparent age that they didn't have. You want to remember that? Now, if you and I could suddenly, I'm getting ahead of the hounds a bit, but if we could suddenly run back to the Garden of Eden and walk out, and Adam and Eve walk out, I'd say, Brother Dave, how old do you think that man and woman would be? He'd say, well, I'd say he's about 20, and he's about 25, she's about 20. I said, no, they're 10 seconds old. He'd say, oh, come on, Brother Andy, you're pulling my leg. No, man. They're 10 seconds old. But look, he's grown and he's matured. It can't be. You see, God, now, this old jazz, which came first, the chicken or the egg? People who know their Bible don't say that. Listen, if the egg came first, who hatched it? Who hatched it? Unless some horse sat out on it and hatched it. No. You see, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, and only adults can do that. There's so much heresy involved. Anyway, they say the third yom was 400 million years, and during that time they fit in the Carboniferous period. That's a big, stinky word. That's when all the plants grew and the waters washed in and the coal beds were formed, and it took millions and millions of years. And they expect us to believe, the theistic evolutionists, that these things grew and grew and grew in darkness for 400 million years, and then when the next yom came, they stood in the sun for 400 million years. Sorry, folks, it just doesn't work that way. Or they've always got one trick they put out of the bag. They say, well, maybe God performed a miracle and kept them alive. That's what they say. That's the beauty, isn't it? Let's see if we all can skip a couple here. Anyway, we'll give you another line quickly about the order of things, the order of vegetation, the third day with the sun, the fourth day, it's in order. God made the world of fish and fowls on the fifth yom, the fifth day, verses 20 through 23. He made them on the fifth day, the fifth yom. Right? If this yom is four, well, let's cut it. Let's have mercy on this crowd. Let's cut it into 200 million years, Brother Manning. And how did the fish and the fowls live in 200 million years of sunshine and 200 million years of darkness? How did they do it? Another line of proof. In fact, this is the most devastating of all, and here's one that finishes off it forever. This is Adam's age. Adam's age. God made Adam early the sixth yom, the sixth day. Early the sixth day. After he made him, he took him and put him in the Garden of Eden. He made the Garden of Eden, and then he made man outside the garden and took him and put him in the garden. If you read carefully the early verses of Genesis 2. God made Adam early on the sixth day, the sixth yom. Listen carefully. Early. Now the reason I say early is because God put him in the garden after he made him. Just listen carefully. These things happen afterwards. God gathered all the animals before him to find a helpmeet. He couldn't find any. And then he named all the animals. That took a little time. And then he put him to sleep and took the wife from his side. And then he gave him commandments concerning the tree. And all of this was through the sixth day. Now, if this sixth day is not a day, but a yom, we'll say, now since he made him early on the sixth day, we'll just have to make it 400 million years. Then that means at the end of that day, Adam was 400 million years old. And that means after God rested the seventh yom, that means he was 800 million years old. And that means on the eighth day, after the seventh day, he was ready for retirement, wasn't he? You see? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? They've got an answer, like the communists. A real communist always has an answer. They're trained to have an answer. And they'll say, well, maybe God didn't really count his age until later. That's what they say. But here's something very interesting. In Genesis 5:3, listen, you may turn there. You better turn to this one. Genesis 5:3. Chapter 5, verse 3. Is that right? That's it? Oh, boy, look here. Oh, brother, I'd hate to be a theistic evolutionist and somebody come after me with this one. I think I'd quit. Now listen to this. And Adam lived, 130 years, and begat a son and called his name Seth, and that was after Cain and Abel. And he wasn't but 130 years old then. Now wait a minute. Now the theistic evolutionist says, but these are periods of time. And they get an echo in their voice. Millions of years. And yet the Bible says, long time after one of the sons had murdered the other, old Adam wasn't but 130 years old when he had Seth to be born. Now, the essence of the whole thing, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. To keep you from believing literally what God said. Just a couple of more quickly. Now, we could talk about the age of Eve along the same, you follow the same line of argument. Now, since Eve was made somewhere in the middle or somewhere in the middle of the sixth yom day, probably a little later in the sixth yom, and we'll say that last part of that yom was 100 million years old, then that would make her 100 million and Adam 400 million. See it? Really? And then, of course, they've got the seventh yom that God rested. That makes her 400, that makes her 500 million years old, and him 800 million years old. Now, you see how ridiculous. Now, listen, and they tell us that educated people believe this. That's probably right, too. Educated people believe this. That's what they say. Let me give you just, we'll skip that one here. Let me give you one or two more here real quickly. Now, we've seen something about the first Yom, second Yom, third Yom, fourth Yom, and we put emphasis on Yom 3, Yom 4, Yom 5, and Yom 6, day 3, 4, 5, and 6. But what about the seventh Yom day when God stopped his work? Now, to be consistent, and they're consistent with their heresy, the theistic evolutionist says, that's a period of time, 400 million. Now, that means God rested 400 million years. In fact, if you want the truth, that means God still rested and nobody's supposed to be here yet. If you want the truth. That means God's still resting and we're not even supposed to be around. Adam's not made. Adam hasn't even been kicked out yet. According. Isn't it stupid? But this is academic scholarship. That's what they call it. Now, remember when God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt in Exodus 20, took them to the foot of Mount Sinai? And I'll read in Exodus 20, 8 and 11 for you, and you listen carefully. Now, here's God. If that Yom, which he rested, was 400 million years, then God is pulling one of the dirtiest tricks anybody could pull on his people. But, of course, he's not. In Exodus 20, verse 8 and 11, God says to Israel, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt stop. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all that's in it, and rested on the seventh. And they tell us God is telling them to rest like he rested. And can we be so stupid to say that God rested 400 million years and he says, now you Israelites, just like my 6 days, you rest the seventh 400 million years. You understand? Jacob? Good. Now let's get Adam created and we're through. Or monkeyfied, that's what they do with him. This is the problem with Adam's creation. We'll finish with this one. Now, the theistic evolutionists, realizing that they've got to twist God's word to harmonize with half-line, half-truth, realizing this, when they come to God's greatest act of creation, they blaspheme. It's sheer blasphemy. Genesis 1:26, God spoke to the Trinity and said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in Genesis 2:7, we have some detailed information as to how the us's did that. The Trinity did that. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now the theistic evolutionist comes to this text and he says, yes sir, I can explain that. Now I want you to listen to this one. Just sit tight now on this one. Quote, or choke, quote. This means that Adam's body, now the dust of the ground, that Adam's body was firstly that of some highly developed animal, and that God selected this highly developed animal, listen to this, and breathed into it his image, and this is how animal became man bearing God. Now, they interpret the statement, dust of the ground, listen to this, dust of the ground is a herd of animals. But really? 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 Don't look so surprised. That's it. Dust of the ground is a herd of, what do you call them? I don't know what you call a bunch of animals. Just a bunch of animals. Dust of the ground are animals. And when it says God took the dust of the ground, he took one of the animals that was more mannish than his mates. Really? And God blew his breath into this thing, and animal had God's image and became man. Isn't that a shocker? Now let's explode this one and then we'll quit. Now let's see. Let me skip that part. I'm skipping what Jesus said about the whole business in Matthew 19. If you want to see what he said about it, he really gives his opinion. He finishes them all forever. Matthew 19, first four verses. I'm not going to get into that one tonight. All right. The dust of the ground is a herd or a bunch of, whatever you call it, a group of animals, bobbyons or something hopping around. That's what dust of the ground becomes. But listen at this, friends, and we will close with this. Boy, is this tough. Now, after Adam sinned, and as God expelled them from the garden, here's what God said in Genesis 3:19. He's speaking to Adam. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, do you mean to tell me that God is telling Adam when he dies, he's going to go back and become a monkey? An animal. Now, if you're going to make the dust of the ground a herd of animals in Genesis 2, to be consistent, you've got to make it a herd of animals in Genesis 3. But they're not consistent. They're apostate concerning biblical creation. And we'd have to stop there tonight. That's enough. All right. Good. There's the business of the diet and death and Jesus' opinion, Paul's opinion, on when they were made and how they were made, and different kinds of flesh and so forth, for those who may hear the tape. Well, friends, atheistic evolutionist, believing creationist, theistic evolutionist. Even the theistic evolutionists now are dividing up into various branches and forms. They're evolving now. But we have to make our choice. What we're going to do, just believe what the good old book says there in Genesis 3. And just stick with it. Or will we decide we want to get educated and informed and intellectual and academic and begin to disbelieve God's precious word? Folks, I'll tell you, just like it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He did it in 6 days and nights. Now, I'm not saying he set an alarm clock and was exactly 24 1/16,000 of a second. I want you to know these 7 yoms are reasonably 7 days and nights as we know them today. That's what Scripture says, and the falsities of theistic evolution and their struggle to reinterpret according to their new light is proven false by the Word of God. And they really have a problem when they get the man falling. It becomes even more serious. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this verse, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Let's believe that. We thank thee, Father, for thy precious word. And we thank thee that it's true. Help us to believe it, to obey it, to love it. Help us to be believing creationist, to be literalist where common sense says to be literalist. We thank thee for these 2 Friday nights and these dear people. And thank you now that you've helped us all. And we rejoice in the reassurance of our faith. The Word of God is dependable. In Jesus' name.